The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, the Private Sector Committee of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, ICTU, has unanimously agreed to recommend unions organising workers in the private sector that they should seek pay increases of between 4 and 7% where affordable for 2025. Owen Reedy, General Secretary of ICTU, joins me now. Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, often we hear that the trade union sector is not that widespread in the private sector. So tell me, how many members do you have who are in unions in the private sector?
Yeah, we've about 300,000 workers right across the economy and the Republic in the private sector unionised, Pat. The reason why the figure's not higher, of course, is that private sector employers in Ireland have a veto over collective bargaining, and the state has done nothing to address that. There's a recent directive where that should have been addressed. The state hasn't done anything on that. And we have studies from UCD that shows 44% of workers from 2021 not in a union want one. So there is an anomaly in Ireland. It's a classic Irish solution to an Irish problem. They ignore it. So that's why the numbers are essentially probably 1 in 7, 1 in 8 of workers in the private sector.
Mm. Now, just tease out that rule for me. People have the right to join a trade union. They can't stop anyone joining a trade union.
Of course, people have a constitutional right to be in a union, but people don't join the union for the fun of it. They join the union so that they can get collective bargaining. The employer is not obliged, even if we organise 95% of a particular workforce, to talk to the union. And in most instances, to secure recognition, workers have to strike. And I think in the 21st century, we're an anomaly and an outlier in Europe. And we really need to change that. And there was a directive that was to be passed by the 15th of November, and the last government shot themselves in the foot, haven't done it. We expect the next government to do it. And that needs to be rectified. Anyone who wants to be in a union should have the right to do it. But obviously...
Sorry, we seem to have lost Owen momentarily. We'll try to ensure we get... Owen, are you back? Now, Owen Reedy is back with us. Owen, sorry we lost you there for some reason.
Apologies, Pat. Yeah, sorry, I don't know what happened.
We were talking about the penetration of unions into the private sector. So you've got 300,000 people in the private sector in unions. Out of how many workers?
Out of probably about 1.9 million in the private sector, Pat. There's 2.8 million at work. Take out the public service workers, take out the self-employed. So it's probably about 1 in 7.
So you have a long way to go.
We've a long way to go, but as I said earlier, although I think I might have been cut off, there's a UCD study that shows 44% of workers not in a union want one. But we have this anomaly in Ireland where private sector employers essentially have a veto. Even if we organise the vast majority of workers, there's no obligation on those employers to engage with unions. And workers uniquely in Ireland usually have to strike to actually get collective bargaining, which I think in a so-called modern dynamic economy is pretty 19th century. So there needs to be changes there, and we'll be pushing the new government, whoever it is, to make those changes.
Yeah, but for some reason, 800,000 workers there, I'm doing the sums based on those figures, about 800,000 workers have no interest in joining a union. Do you ever wonder why?
Well, Pat, I mean, if the 44% that aren't in unions wanted to join...
That's 44% leaving 56% who don't want to join a union in the private sector.
No, it's 44% of all workers not in a union.
Yeah, exactly. 1.6 million people in the private sector. If the total workforce in the private sector is 1.9, 1.6 are those not in a union. You take 44% of those who want to join a union, and the rest, about 800,000, don't. So why?
And I would say to you, Pat, if you look at the statistics further, 67% of 16 to 24-year-olds not in a union want to join a union. So I think the future is bright. Of course, not every worker in the economy feels the need to be in a union, and that's fine. We don't want conscripts. We want volunteers. But even in the margin of error, if those 44% were allowed to join the trade union movement, we would represent the vast majority of workers in the economy. As it stands, we represent about 1 in 4, and our coverage is about 1 in 3. That's those covered by a collective agreement. So there's no other organisation that can speak for workers in this economy except the trade
union. Now, the recommendation that those in a union in the private sector should seek, where affordable, and that's important, I suppose, between 4 and 7% of an increase, what's the basis for that calculation?
Well, the basis for it, Pat, is that if you look at pay over the last 3 years, the average private sector worker, and I suppose it's hard to talk about the average private sector worker because it's a very diverse sector, but is about 2 to 2.5% behind inflation. Pay was suppressed in 2022 and 2023. It improved in 2024. And our view is, in a booming economy with record levels of employment, whilst at the same time you see in-work deprivation increasing to about 1 in 8, now is the time for workers to seek decent pay increases that not only are in excess of inflation now, which is modest, but allows them to catch up over the last 3 years. We should be seeking to improve workers' living standards, not just matching inflation. And we've had a general election where the second most important issue was the cost of living. And, you know, we've had parties falling over themselves saying we will give people back their own money with tax cuts. That's not the way to go. The way to address cost of living for workers is collective bargaining in the workplace on pay and modernization and change, and to make sure that businesses are successful and workers get their share of the rewards.
Now, that question of affordability, I mean, people listening to this from ICTU this morning will be saying, OK, that's great news. We can get a minimum 4% from our employers, because we are unionized, up to a potential 7% if they're doing well. How does that affordability equation come in? If the employer says simply, we can't afford it, either we have to cut numbers or maybe even go to the wall if we give this kind of increase.
Well, we know when we look across the diversity of the private sector, there are lots of areas doing very well, others less well. And what each union will do in each given sector with each employment, they will make that assessment on the macroeconomic situation and on how the firm is doing. It won't be good enough for the employer just to plead poverty. I mean, we've got the WRC, we've got the Labour Court, and where employers that can pay don't pay, I would see inevitably an increase in strike action and industrial action as well, because it's important that workers get pay increases that improve their living standards. That's what we should all strive for in a modern dynamic economy. Obviously, you can't get blood from a stone. If there are employments and certain sectors that are struggling, that's why we're affordable is there. But, you know, I'm confident that our unions and our shop stewards will make those assessments. They are the best place. They are the best people to make that assessment because they're close to the firm. And I think 2025 has the potential to be a significantly important year for private sector workers as we go forward.
Are you really telling me that in the face of inflation and so on and somewhat troubled times, that trade union officials, the shop stewards and so on, were kind of quiescent over the last years, and you are about to rouse them out of their slumbers, and we could have quite a busy period in terms of threatened and real industrial action?
Well, I'd agree with the second part of your statement, but I wouldn't agree with the first part. I mean, I don't think we were acquiescent. Trade unions, and I spent 26 years in this movement, 18 years working in SIPTU. You know, when companies hit the skids, trade unions are there to help, to assist in restructuring, to save jobs and to minimize the impact on the firm and on the workers. I mean, when inflation is high, we're told not to chase it, and we largely don't. When it's low, we're told to moderate our demands. Inflation is low at the moment, but as we know from the election and from what we've heard from workers and citizens and voters, people are struggling with the cost of living. And the way to address it isn't to kind of cut taxes and give people back their own money, pat and hollow out the tax base. It's to have bargaining in the workplace. We would like to see sector bargaining in the private sector too. But again, the government have dropped the ball, haven't implemented that directive, and we don't have that. So that's why we have the range of 4 to 7. And there's other areas as well, the small benefit exemption scheme, service pay, looking at pensions and sick pay to protect them. It's not just limited to 7%. If there are firms that can do better in response to modernization and change, workers should seek to do better too.
Yeah, just I want to clarify something. I didn't actually suggest that the workers were acquiescent, in other words, submissive. I use the word quiescent, which actually means a period of inactivity or dormancy. And interesting, in the Oxford Dictionary, it describes quiescent as, and giving an example, it says, strikes were headed by groups of workers who had previously been quiescent. Not acquiescent, right, but quiescent.
Okay.
So just wanted to clarify that, Owen.
Sorry for my imprecision. But no, I don't think they were quiescent or acquiescent. I think they were realistic. And I think 4 to 7% were affordable is realistic in 2025.
Owen, thank you very much for joining us. That's Owen Reedy, General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.